Well, good afternoon to everyone.
Good afternoon.
Hope you all had a pleasant week after the Feast of Trumpets on Monday. And hope everything went well for you. And certainly, when you look at the situation with that hurricane, it's the devastation it's doing, it's very sad. And I'm sure you've had your prayers concerning the brethren and the people that live along that area of our nation. I'd like you to turn to start this afternoon in Matthew 9 and verse 9, if you turn there. And this is a Christ account of an individual. And we will read more about it as time goes on. We'll get more information, but we'll just start here in Matthew 9 and verse 9. As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. So Christ said to follow me. And the Father, as we learn later on, that has to call us at this time. But the subject today we're going to talk about is follow. We're supposed to follow Christ. And for, as it says, follow me. And that's what I want to look at. Look a little bit more about that. Matthew 10, verse 38. Let's turn there. Matthew 10, verse 38. Here Christ, I'm breaking into the thought, but he makes another statement about this. He says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So he makes it quite clear that there's action that we have to do when we follow him. Then Matthew 16, verse 24, he makes another statement about this. Matthew 16, and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, and he speaks again, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So there's three things he talks about. He says to follow me, there's an action, take up your cross, and also deny yourself. So today we're going to look at Christ's life and the New Testament church to see how we're to follow his examples. And I have given 5 points or 5 areas I like to look at. The first one is follow Christ's example and not to conform to the world. Follow Christ's example and not conform to the world. We'll look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. We'll start there. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. So it's follow Christ's example and not to conform to the world. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, most of us have read this scripture numerous times, and we usually read the next two verses, verse 22 to 23, that describes the gift of the Holy Spirit and the fruits that are given. But we're going to read right before that in Galatians 5, verse 19. And it says, "Now the works of the flesh are," and then it recites what they are, "envy, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, and heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the likes, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So these are the things that the world follows. These are some of the things that they get caught up in. And we get caught up in some of those things as well. We make mistakes. But he says we're not to conform to the world. Now let's look at John 17, verse 13 through 16. John 17. And this is when Christ, after we're at the Passover service, he introduces the blood, the wine, and the bread. And then he talks to his disciples, and we turn to John 17, 13 through 16. And this is his prayer. He's praying to his Father. Notice what he says. "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them." So he's asking the Father. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." So he's talking about himself. He's talking to his Father. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one," referring probably to Satan the devil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So he's telling us, eventually he'll tell us more about it, but eventually he tells us that the world will hate us for following him. But we're to come out of the world, not that we totally leave and become hermits, we're to live in the world, but we're to, he asked his Father to help us to stay in the world and to be lights of his way and follow him. Let's go to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is Paul speaking. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here, Paul tells us not to conform to the world, but to change or transform and to have more understanding of the perfect will of God. So there's a process that we're going to have to do when we say we're going to follow him. It takes time. It's over a lifetime. It takes time to change. Christ wants us to follow him and not conform to the ways of the world. Now we'll look at John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. A little bit more added to this point. John 16, verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. So with Christ and God working with us, we will have peace. In the world in which we live, he's telling us, in the world you will have tribulation. And then he says, be happy, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I have overcome the world. Be happy. You're going to have tribulations in this life as you go through it. And some of us have ailments as we age, and that's some tribulation. Sometimes there's work-related things of not being able to, conflict of the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, and making people wanting us to work on the Sabbath and so forth, and some of us lose our jobs. We will have tribulation, but remember, I'll give you peace, he tells us. So we are not to conform to the world. The second point I have for you is deny yourself and change your values to follow Christ. So the second point is deny yourself, change your values to follow Christ. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 24 through 28. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. And let's see. My Bible has it, the cost of being a disciple, above this. But Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my name's sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul or his life, or what will a man give in exchange for his life or his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And that's what Tim was talking about with the resurrection. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So, what good is it if we have a good name but we don't follow Christ? What good is it? It's more important to please God, is what Christ is saying, than it is to please. It's more important to please Christ than it is to please ourselves or man. I'll give you an example of what I'm trying to explain. You please God by not working on the Sabbath, since that's one of his commandments. He tells us not to work on the Sabbath. And so when the time comes up and you don't work on the Sabbath, you might not please your boss who wants you to work, or he's got this deadline that has to be finished at a certain time, and he wants you to come in overtime on the Sabbath to work. Well, what the example is, God, we shouldn't work on the Sabbath, and we shouldn't please just do it to please our boss. We are to please God. We're not to please man. God rewards us for keeping his Sabbath and pleasing him. He says at the end of that, he will give you a resurrection and you'll be in his kingdom. So there is a reward for following after Christ and doing what he wants. Let's go to Matthew 19, verse 16. We'll see some more about this. Matthew 19, verse 16 through 21. Matthew 19, verse 16 through 21. And this is going to talk about the rich man, the young rich man. And he asked Christ a question. Now, behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" "You shall not murder," Christ states, and then he says, summarizing, "you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness or lie." And he says, "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man then replied and said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What else do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." And we'll see that the man became very sorrowful in verse 22. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had lots of wealth. Then he said to his disciples, "Surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And then, of course, his disciples, you can keep reading if you like, but the disciples then said, "Well, who can enter into the kingdom of God?" after hearing that statement. But what Christ was, the rich young man didn't choose God's values. His values were money, his values were possessions, and the things around him. Because he had great abundance of them, and he didn't want to give them to the poor or think about others. He was thinking about himself. He didn't deny himself. He didn't deny what God said he should deny and place his values on what God wanted. Let's go to Acts 26:11. Acts 26:11, we'll see another account of an individual who did deny himself. Of course, he started out not following or doing anything for God and Jesus Christ. He was against him totally. Acts 26 and verse 11. The account is about Paul. His name was Saul at this time, but he's talking to King Agrippa in his defense, and he's recounting what took place in his life. Acts 26, verse 11. "And I punished them," and he's referring to the true church, the believers, "them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So he even went after them as they traveled. "While this occupied, as I journeyed near Damascus with authorities and commission from the chief priests," so he had felt he had authority, the chief priests told him to go after the people. Verse 13, "A midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all fell down to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, and whom you are persecuting.' But he raising and standing on your feet, for I appear to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and to witness both the things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you." So Paul changes his values after this takes place. We'll see, and he makes a total commitment to following Christ. Let's read verse 17 and 18. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, and to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So he changes his ways. Now we'll get a little more account. He is trained in the wilderness for 3 years. Galatians tells us that. So let's go to Galatians 1, verse 10. Galatians 1, verse 10. So we'll see that he does deny himself and change his values totally. He was persecuting and killing the Christians, and he turns around and starts to be a teacher for Christ. Galatians 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? He asks the question. I'm trying to just do it for men, or am I doing it for God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So he says you can't please men, you have to please Christ. Verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men. And why? For I neither received it from man, he said, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and to try to destroy it. So he was one of those that really, before he was called, definitely tried to destroy the brethren. He even had many killed. Verse 14, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more excellently zealous for the tradition of my fathers. So some say he was trained by one of the, right near the high priest. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was well educated in the understanding of Judaism. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. No, he was struck down by the road by Christ. Verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So we see here, he did not neglect Christ. He did deny himself, and he did change his values to follow Christ. So he did follow the principle of follow me. Let's go to the third point that I have for you. So we see, so far we've seen that we're not to conform to the world, and we're to change our values to follow Christ. The next point is follow Christ. Example of serving others. Now Christ, let's go to Matthew 20 for this. Matthew 20, verse 25. This is such a, what Christ brings out here, how to serve and so forth and care for others is totally contrary to the way man does things in the world. Matthew 20, verse 25. And let's go back to verse 20 to give you a little bit of count. And it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with his sons and kneeled down and asked something from Christ. And he said to him, what do you want, or what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and on your left in your kingdom. And of course, Christ goes on to expound. He says, well, Do you not know what you ask? Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink and be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are. And he said, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with baptism, and I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, it is prepared by the Father. Let's drop down to verse 26. Verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you. So he's giving a whole different way of what the way to rule that than what the world does. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it's totally opposite. We are to be, when someone's in authority, they are to be servants. They are not to be lording over their people like the Gentiles do, or the rulers of the world. We see that a lot in the nations around the world today. So he taught us how to, and he also is teaching us how to care for others. Now let's go to Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. So we're to serve and care for others. Think of others before ourselves. Galatians 5, verse 13. Paul adds a little to it. Galatians 5, 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. So it's a gift. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. So don't, just because you've sinned in the past and God's given you grace and willing to die for you, you're not to continue in it. You're supposed to change. That's the idea. So do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So our service should be in love towards other people. It's a gift that we should share with others and show love in our service. I go to Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23. When I was young, I came across a scripture in Ecclesiastes 9:10. And I've memorized it, and when I was young, I thought, well, that's a good principle to follow. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. So put your whole effort into whatever you're doing. Well, I was out at my daughter's. She was married, and they have twins, and we were out spending some time with them. And she came and said, look at this, Dad. This is interesting. And it goes along the same principle of what I learned in the past about doing whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might. But Paul adds something to it. Let's read about it. In Colossians 3, verse 23, goes right into this service thing. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Same concept as do it with your might. Do it with all your being. As to the Lord and not to man. So it's a different concept. It's not just to man, but to the Lord first. Know that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. So you will receive the resurrection of the spiritual life. You'll have eternal life. For you serve the Lord Christ. So our service should be to God. If we should look at it as when we serve others, that we're doing something that's helping God. We're following after God's example of being servants. We are to serve others. We're to serve Christ and others, and we're to serve others as if we're serving Christ. So when you serve your brothers and sisters, think of it as serving Christ. Puts a whole different meaning on behind the service concept. Whole different meaning, as if you were doing it to Christ himself. The fourth point then, so that point was follow Christ's example and serve others. The fourth point is follow Christ's example by being children of light. Follow Christ's example by being children of light. If you go back to John 12, we'll start there, John 12, and verse 26. John 12, verse 26. So follow Christ's example by being children of light. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now let's drop down to verse 35, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And I always think about, when I read that, I often think about at night, if I have to get up or whatever, as you get older, sometimes you have to get up in the middle of the night. I don't turn the lights on, you know, you walk down through and it's hard to see where you're going. And that's how darkness is. You're going the wrong way. Sometimes you fall down the steps too. No, I didn't do that yet, but it could. So I started taking a flashlight now. But anyhow, I don't want to wake everybody up in the house. But when it's dark, you can't see where you're going. The other thing is another example of that is I was in caves already, and they turn off all the lights and show how dark it is. You can't see your face. You can't even see your hand. So we're not to follow after the darkness, but we are to be lights. While it says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you, and he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. It's hard to see. Verse 36, while you have the light, be living in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So we are to be light. We are to illuminate the light that Christ has. We'll see a little bit more of that as we go on. Let's go to Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13. And we'll see that the light that we're to be illuminating is Christ, because he is light. Matthew 5:13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophecies and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder I was reading that instead. There you go. Let's get to the right place here. Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, it says. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So if a salt doesn't taste like salt, it's no use. It doesn't, can't cure the meat, keep it over a period of time from spoiling. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify. It doesn't say glorify you. It says glorify your Father in heaven. So Christ is, be a light. We're supposed to be a light on a hill. And so we're to glorify our Father by the light that we set and others see in us. So we have to be following the example of Jesus Christ and his Father. Let's go to Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy it, and where thieves break in and steal, Christ says, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where you neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eyes. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore light that is in you, therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. You have to choose. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and Jesus Christ and manna. So you can't follow and be a light of his way if you don't do it wholeheartedly. We have to make a choice to be lights, and we must be full of light, serving God and being his light. Let's go to John 1:6. John 1:6. This is talking about John the Baptist, and we'll see that Jesus Christ is the true light in these passages. John 1:6, there was a man there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness to be bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Of course, he was his cousin, Christ's cousin. Verse 9, they were the true light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, or you could say children of light, to those who believe in his name, who were born and not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. So through God's Holy Spirit given to us, we are born of God. Then we are to be light. So Christ is the light, and we are to become his children of light. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Paul talks about it. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Talks how we were in darkness. For you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then he says to do something after we understand the light and to follow it. He says, walk as children of light. So there's a walk. There's a way to live, to follow the example of Jesus Christ and be that light. Let's go to one more scripture on this in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 8. 1 John 1, 5 through 8. And John writes, 1 John 1, 5 through 8, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness with God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we are to be that light. We're not to be in darkness. We are to be children of light. The fifth point I have for you today is follow Christ's example of being a doer of the word. Being a doer of the word. Let's go to Romans 2, verse 13. Romans 2, 13. Romans 2 and verse 13. For it says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So here it's not just what we see, it's actions we must take. There's a whole lot more there that's talked about. We'll just bring that up. Let's go to James 1, verse 22 and 25. It gives more explanation. James 1, verse 22 and 25. Of course, we can't do anything without God's being merciful and showing us grace. We can't just, it's all a gift from God. But he wants us to follow his example of what he showed in the Ten Commandments and so forth. So James 1, verse 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he really is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So James makes it clear, we have to be doers and continue in what Christ has taught us, doers of what the word says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul gives us encouragement for all our lives. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abiding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord or the Eternal." So we're to be steadfast, immovable in the work of God. All of these scriptures are telling us to follow the example of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. How? By being doers of the word. When we study his word, we understand more of his ways, and by that process, we're able to be more doers. Of course, prayer is involved. We ask God to inspire us and help us to grasp and understand of how to be more doers of the word. So in conclusion, I gave you 5 points. Follow Christ's example not to conform to the world. Deny yourself and change your values to follow Christ. Follow Christ's example of serving others as if you're serving Christ. And the fourth was follow Christ's example of being children of light. And then the fifth was following Christ's example of being a doer of the word. Let's turn to John 1, verse 35. John 1, verse 35. I was here before. I started in verse 6. I told you about John the Baptist, and then we read part of this before, and how Christ came to his own, and Christ was the light. Let's go drop down to verse 15 now. Let's go verse 35. I'm at the wrong place. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them follow, said to them, "What do you seek?" Christ asked them. They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, is translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour of the day. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he had first found his own brother Simon, said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You, Simon, the son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day he went to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So the disciples are coming to him. He's calling them. Now Philip was from Bethany, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, whom Moses in the law also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said to him, notice what he says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these things." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And that happened. He was calling all these disciples. He was calling these individuals. They heard the words, "Follow me." We've heard those words too. It said, "Follow me." And they did. We read about their accounts that they followed him. Will each of us follow Christ like his disciples did all their lives? Will we follow him? Change our ideas, change our ways, not conform to the world, deny ourselves, be servants like he wants us to be servants and be serving him. Are we going to be children of light, be that shining bright light in the world of darkness? And it's going to get brighter. As the world goes farther and farther away from God's ways, it won't take much light to stand out on a hill. If it's all pitch black like it was a few nights ago, it was raining and dreary, there was a new moon, no stars out, cloud cover, and you couldn't see hardly anything when the lights were off in the house. And if you put a candle on, you can see it all over. It's everything. It just shines. And that's how we're going to be as the world grows farther and farther away from God. And will we live it all our lives? Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Last scripture then we'll read today. Philippians 2, verse 12. He gives those disciples, follow me. He asks us the same question, something to ponder and think about. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, Paul writes only, but now much more in my absence. Then he writes these words that I have memorized. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we're to do. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So God working in us, and it's for his pleasure, not ours, to do what he wants from us. Do all things, and I always think about this next verse. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. So easy to complain and dispute, especially if you think of anything in the political society today. It's complaining and excuses and disputing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless, those are powerful words, and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And then he says the last of this particular verse in verse 16, it says, hold fast the words of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So don't give up. Follow Christ, as he said, and to his disciples, follow me. Hold fast. Don't stop all your life. May you all have a very wonderful and enjoyable Day of Atonement and the Fall Holy Day season, the Feast of Tabernacles, and may you apply this while you're among your brethren and those in the world as well.